Although being celebrated unofficially for a very long time, the official solemnity of this feast of the Holy Family just occurred from Pope Leo XIII in the year of 1893. That's relatively recent in church history. And he made this feast specifically to tell us that we should be imitators of the Holy Family, that the Holy Family is a shining example of what we should be. So looking at the readings from Advent and Christmas and today, let's take a look at what that Holy Family is like. The family starts with a young unmarried woman who announces to her husband-to-be that she's with child, and it's not his. The husband-to-be, knowing that he's not the father, but not wanting to embarrass her, seeks a divorce. But then he changes his mind after having a dream. They get together, and then they travel somewhat late in the pregnancy. When she's 8+ months pregnant, they travel 70 to 80 miles while she's riding on a donkey through dangerous territory, all to just register themselves that we exist. They plan their trip so poorly that when they arrive, there's no place for them to stay. And so she ends up giving birth in a stable. The husband then, through another dream, says that, honey, we gotta go. For all you married women out there, imagine your husband waking up and saying, honey, I just had a dream. We gotta go to Toledo. And she goes, okay, hon, when are we gonna go? We gotta leave today. Then finally, they stay in another country as immigrants for as long as 2 to 3 years. We really don't know how long. Then returning home, and as you heard in today's gospel, they make their annual trip to Jerusalem when the child is 12. And the parents start to return, each thinking that the other had the child with them. What a great bunch of parents. It's kind of a Home Alone story, right? Then they travel without him for a whole day until they realize that this special child who is foretold to be the savior of the world, we don't have him anymore. Mom and dad frantically return to Jerusalem. They search for him for 3 days. Imagine what it would be like now. We'd have Amber Alerts. There'd be dogs out in the woods looking for this poor child. Then when they find him, Jesus is found speaking with the priests in the temple, but he's unconcerned about the parents' distress. They've not seen him for 4 days. He doesn't care. He's basically saying, as all teenagers do when they do something wrong, what's the big deal? Mary and Joseph say something which is unreported in the scriptures. And then Jesus returns home henceforth to be obedient to his parents for the rest of his life. So in one sense, Pope Leo had it right. Sounds like many of the American families that we know. So what's this feast telling us about families? The first thing is that there is no ideal or perfect family. We are to model ourselves after the Holy Family, but we see the Holy Family was just as real as all of us. So what's the part of the Holy Family are we supposed to emulate? What are we supposed to pay attention to? First is just the very fact that Jesus came from a family. We have family stories about him. Jesus just didn't appear out of the wilderness like sort of John the Baptist did. Neither did he leave his family to go search and become knowledgeable in the ways of the world. He discovered himself as the Son of God through his family, which means that what his experience is telling us, that to God, the family is one of the most important social structure that we have. It's made sacred and blessed by God. Families are sacred. They're the most important thing we have. Much of our culture has downplayed the importance of family. saying your child can be raised by a village, can be raised by teachers, by the community. They downplay the importance of family as being something sacred and something really important, not to also just instill their faith, but also to instill the moral being that they are. In 2016, Pope Francis released an apostolic exhortation called The Joy of Love, which was subtitled On Love in the Family. And he declared that the fundamental thing to a civilized moral life is a family. He said, however, no family drops down from heaven perfectly formed. Families need to constantly grow and mature in their ability to love. That's what it's all about today, to honor, number one, the importance of family, and to understand that it's something that grows. And so what virtues that we have to have in our family, that we have to nourish and nurture our family? It also says that the cornerstone of a family is marriage. Marriage between a man and a woman. That's the cornerstone of what a family is. And that's why marriage in the Catholic Church is sacred and a sacrament. Because it being the foundation, the vows that a man gives to a woman for better or for worse, when challenges happen in a marriage, those vows are what hold things together and what make people understand that their family won't be broken up like that. The vows that they carry in a marriage, that's what's sacred. There's no loyalty without commitment. We are to honor the family as most important, marriage, and we're supposed to honor and understand the importance of love in the family, because that's the food that nourishes the family. Pope Francis said this about the virtue of love in a family. Family love is made up of thousands of small but real gestures. Isn't that true? One of the images that I use at marriages is I say to the engaged couple, every day you're either putting a brick between yourselves or you're taking one down. You don't build a wall up in a day and you don't take it down in a day. Same thing with love in a marriage and love in a family. The gestures, small gestures we do for each other. We are to appreciate the family and marriage and to nurture them in love. But we also understand that every family is not as fortunate as ours. There are a lot of single-parent families, and we're not to disdain them, but in fact support them. There's a lot of people that come together in family, and we are to support those people that are trying hard. Secondly, how we nurture and nourish our family is something that I want you to consider for this whole next year, 2022. What I call it is to build your family around three things: food, faith, and fun. Jesus himself builds our faith around food. We're nourished at the table of the Eucharist. But how much of a family is formed by what you do with food and the meals that you have together? Pope Francis said that a family that doesn't eat together is hardly a family at all. It's at the family table that you share your stories, you share your hopes, you share your dreams, you share your conflicts, and you comfort each other, and you rejoice over the joys of each other. Love and life happens around food, and we all know that. The second is faith, to pray together. It seems when families don't do that, they lose that virtue of love. Faith and praying together is something that causes and brings us all together. So pray with your family. Start at mealtime, start at night, but add prayer when somebody's having trouble. When somebody says, I'm in trouble, I need help, say, let's pray about that today. When you hear about something in another family or something out there that's causing anxiety, say, let's pray about that. Invite prayer into the daily routine of your life. Finally, fun. Laughing and loving goes together. And I have to tell you a little story. This was the first Christmas after my wife died, and my three daughters and I wanted to make it special. I knew it would be sad, but I wanted to make it special. So I put out our very nice china. I decorated all the table. We had three forks. I did everything like beautiful for dinner. And I thought, okay, we'll have a great dinner and it'll be just great. But we were all kind of in a sad mood because we know my wife was the entertainer before she died. So my daughter is the youngest one, Kelly. She's standing up at the back of the table. And she's talking and they're all talking about what it was like to have Bev there and everything was like. And everybody's getting kind of sad. I noticed that we had one too many chairs at the table because I didn't count the people right. So Kelly's talking and standing there, and I pull the chair out and move it, and I'm starting to put the other one back in, but Kelly doesn't realize that I took the chair behind her out. So she, in the middle of her phrase, starts to sit down, plop, right on the floor. And she starts laughing, and we all start laughing. And it changed the mood for the whole thing. How often has funny, quirky things happened in your holiday celebrations that made it memorable? You don't remember brilliant sermons that priests gave. You don't even remember the great gifts that people would have given you. What we remember about the holidays and family is the quirky little things that happened during the holiday times when the Christmas tree fell down or something like that. The best holidays are the ones where we have food, faith, and fun. We're supposed to imitate the Holy Family because I'm sure they had food, faith, and fun. Try it for this year. Focus on those three themes and see if not by the end of 2022 that you really are imitating the Holy Family.